空调之音服务员聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2021年1月6日，星期三。我们再次荣幸到了来的传染跑步，荣幸的邀请到来的传染跑步为我们继续讲解永恒的铁丹念经，是铁丹念查理坦摩达哈瑞克什纳。
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jayanityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Greetings this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila chapter 24, the 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续阅读永恒的铁丹念经，是铁丹念查尔塔摩达玛利亚利拉中篇逍遥的第24章，有关 Atma Ram 世界的61项解释。
We're broadcasting this morning from Srimayapur Dham.
现在我们是在 Srimayapur Dham 向大家直播。
And this is the first Chaitanya Charitamrita lecture for 2021.
这是2021年的第一次 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的课程。
We pray that 2021 will bring us together again.
我们期待2021年我们能够相聚。
And that we'll spend the whole year hearing and chanting and serving the spiritual master.
希望我们在这一年当中大家可以一起来聆听唱诵，共同来服务我们的灵性导师。
What else is there to do?
除此之外还有什么值得做的呢？
Devotees should just hear and chant.
奉献者们就应当不断地去聆听和唱诵念诵
and follow in the footsteps of Mugrari the hunter
去追随 Mugrari 这个猎人的步伐。
We're going to continue the narration of the story between Narada Muni and the hunter
那我们现在呢继续来叙述 Narada Muni 和 Mugrari 之间的故事
where the hunter made a very daring step to trust a saintly person.
那这位猎人 Mugrari 跨出了勇敢的一步，把自己的心都就是完全的信任了这一位圣人。
So this is something which needs to be meditated upon.
那这个也是我们应当去冥想的。
Trusting a saintly person.
去信任一个圣人。
And this means that we have to know and we have to understand what is a saintly person.
那就意味着我们首先要了解一个圣人究竟是怎么样的一个人，然后我们去信任他。
Because not just nowadays, but there has always been people who pose themselves as saintly, but actually are not.
因为不管是现在还是从前都有一些自诩是圣人的人，他们自称自己是圣人，但事实上并不是。
So there are different criteria which allows one to understand here is a saintly person, I can trust that person with my life.
所以呢，什么叫做圣人是有这个标准可循的？我们可以通过这些准绳来判定这个人是一位值得我一生去追随的圣人。
So these criteria are.Mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita.
那么 Krishna 在 Bhagavad Gita 佛家梵歌里面就指出了作为圣人的一些标准。
The saintly person must be completely absorbed in the conclusion of the Vedas.
他应当是完全的沉浸在伟大经典的结论之中。
Must be free from material designation.
然后呢，完全的摆脱了物质的各种的身份。
Completely absorbed in devotional service to the Lord.
完全沉浸在对至尊主的奉爱服务之中。
Free from envy.
然后已经摒除了嫉妒心。
In the there are more description how to recognize a saint.
有关怎么样去识别一位圣人有更多的描述。
That one is able to convince others of the authority of the Vedas and the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
就一个人他能够让别人去信服伟大经典的结论，并且呢信服至尊人格守神崇高的至高无上的地位。
Another criteria of a saintly person is that this person always teaches by his own example.
那圣人还有一个特征去判定的一个准绳，就是他始终就是言行一致，言传身教的。
So such a person becomes the representative of both the demigods and the Supreme Lord.
那这个圣人呢，有了这些特征之后，他就有资格真正的去代表那些半神人，还有至尊人格守神本人。
So you may ask the question, how is it possible that someone like a hunter who spend their life torturing animal recognize a saintly person?
那你可能会觉得非常奇怪，就这么一个一辈子无恶不作，这一辈子都是在折磨那些动物的这么一个猎人，能看到一个圣人，他就能够识别出来。
What is a saintly person?
那毫无疑问，一个猎人应该是不知道什么样的人算是圣人的。
So that comes from the saintly person himself.
所以呢，这个就是要来自于圣人本人了。
Just like when Srila Prabhupada would go anywhere, even the most inimical people would have the highest respect because they recognize here is a saintly person.
就好像是啦，帕帕他来到世界各地，来到很多就是内心充满敌意的那些人之中，但是呢，当他们见到了是啦帕帕的时候，他们依然会对他非常非常的敬仰，能够看出他是一位非常崇高的圣人。
And by the presence alone of a saintly person, one's Krishna consciousness is awakened.
也就是说，当一个圣人置身于我们中间的时候，那么我们的这个 Krishna 知觉立刻就会被唤醒。
One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk early in the morning in New York.
那有一次呢，是在清晨很早的时候，Srila Prabhupada在纽约散步。
And he was walking down one street, and there were poor people sleeping outside on the street.
那么就是他沿着一条街在往前走，在街边呢就躺着一些无家可归的流浪汉。
And these people were, you know, either drunk or drugged.
他们要不就是吸食毒品，要不就是烂醉如泥。
And they were half awake.
然后他们就是一副半梦半醒的昏昏噩噩的样子。
And people Prabhupada walked past with two or three other devotees.
当时希拉帕帕就带着两三个奉献者经过他们的身边。
And these street people instantly stood up and offered respect to Prabhupada.
那这些流浪汉呢，立刻就站起身来向希拉帕帕表示这个恭敬。
So it's because there are many people who pronounce themselves to be saintly, but they only like to be surrendered by wealthy people and influential people.
那有一些人呢，他们总是自称自己是圣人，装出一副是圣人的模样，但是他们只希望周边簇拥的都是一些有钱人，或者是一些有钱有势、很有影响力的人。
And this was a reality in the 1960s when many so-called spiritualists and gurus went from India to America.
因为在六十年代的时候就有这么一股风潮，有很多就是自诩自己是这个就是圣人的这种所谓的灵性主义者，他们从印度呢就纷纷的到达这个西方。
And they made sure that they were very comfortably settled in beautiful homes.
然后呢，他们想方设法能在西方找到一个非常舒适美丽的一个漂亮的一个地方安顿下来。
only surrounded by wealthy people.
然后周边呢都是一些有钱人簇拥着他们。
And talking all these sorts of very vague philosophy that makes no sense.
然后成天都讲一些这种模糊不清的，听上去又好像非常高深的那种哲学。
And collecting lots of money.
然后呢，敛大量的钱财。
Prabhupada went to the lowest places in America.
但是 Prabhupada 他去了却是美国的一个最不起眼的一个低下的地方。
And he attracted the most fallen.
但是呢，他却吸引了最堕落的人。
And he raised them to the highest platform.
然后呢，他把他们提升起来，提升到了最高的境界。
Prabhupada also attracted influential people.
当然，释迦牟尼也吸引了很多有影响力的人。
But he made no distinctions.
但是呢，他并不做分别。
Because he had the vision that everyone is a spirit soul, therefore everyone is potentially a pure devotee of Krishna.
因为他有这样的一种洞见，也就是每一个人呢，他其实都是灵魂，本质上，所以呢，他们从都每一个人都有。能够成为纯粹的主的奉献者的潜质。
Last week we celebrated the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
那上一周呢，我们庆祝了是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的隐居日。
And there is something which was written about him in his later stage of life.
那关于他的晚年究竟是怎么度过的，有一些意识呢，就是记录在一些文献中。
When he attended the last celebration of his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Vyasa Puja.
当他参加了他的父亲是吧 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的最后的一个 Vyasa Puja 的时候。
So on that day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.Made a statement.
那当时呢，就是就在那一次 Vyasa Puja 的庆祝上，那是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 呢，他就说了一段话
，which really shows the vision of a pure devotee.
那通过这段话呢，真正的就是展示出了一个纯粹的奉献者的事业。
He says one cannot become or make another Vaishnava.
他说呢，一个人不能把另外一个人转变成为 Vaishnava 或者发展成为 Vaishnava.
In other words, there's no need to become a Vaishnava because by nature of the soul, you are already a Vaishnava.
所以说呢，就是说一个人呢，你不能说他是变成一个 Vaishnava, 因为这个人这样的人他其实天性上面本身就是一个Vaishnava, 就是每一个人其实本身都是 Vaishnava, 所以呢就谈不上是变成一个 Vaishnava.
Then he says, all living beings in the universe are intrinsically Vaishnavas. They simply have to realize it.
那所以他说这个宇宙当中所有的那个生物体其实本质上都是 Vaishnava, 他们只不过说就是需要去觉悟到自己的本质而已。
And then he said, therefore, it is the task of the devotees to assist people to realize that position.
所以呢，作为一个奉献者呢，他有这个责任去帮助或者辅助别人，去唤醒他这个对于 Vaishnava 本质的觉知。
And he says, most of people identify with nation, with family.With tradition, with culture, and those things only divide people.
他说呢，大多数人呢，他们只是认同于像民族啊、传统、国家、家庭、文化等等。但是其实呢，这些名头其实是把人给分裂的。
Then he says, this conception should be erased.
那么他说呢，这样的一种概念应当把它去除。
And it should not be erased just in Bengal. It should not be erased just in India. It should be erased all over the universe.
他说呢，这样的一种误解呢，不仅仅应当在孟加拉地区把它去除，整个印度、整个宇宙都应当要把这样的一种误解 抹去、啊、
And then he says, all the devotees should take the instructions of Lord Chaitanya and go to every corner of this world to explain to people their eternal position.
他说呢，每一个人都应当要接受主切特尼亚马哈帕布的教导，来到宇宙的每一个角落啊，帮助每一个人去唤醒啊他们的这样的觉知，就是他们是永恒的灵魂。
Then he says something very interesting.
然后他接下来又说了一个非常有意思的东西。
He talks about Nirjan Bhajan.
他说到这个 Nirjan Bhajan 这个。
So Bhajan means to glorify Krishna.
那 Bhajan 的意思呢，就是去荣耀 Krishna。
And Nirjan is made of two words, Nir and Jan. Jan means people, Nir means no people.
那 Nirjan 呢，它是由两个字组成的，就是 Nir 和 Jan。Jan 的意思是人 ，Nir 的意思是没有。
没有人，对，没有人。
Yeah.
我知道。So it means that they are devotees who are just engaged in their own worship of Krishna in isolation.
所以说，他说有一些奉献者呢，是在这个人迹罕至，单一个人单独的在荣耀着至尊主。
And he says this is violence to oneself.
他说呢，这样的人呢，他实际上是在对自己施暴。
He said it should be stopped.
他说呢，他们不应当再这样了。
In other words, the spiritual master has come to you and saved you. Don't sit around just thinking about your own salvation.
那换句话说呢，刚才主要指的是这个人就是跟别人隔绝，只是自己在那儿荣耀至尊主。那么他这句话的言下之意就是说，灵性导师来到了你的跟前，然后拯救了你。你就不能只是在自己一个人待着了，你应该要去帮助别人。
And then he says, devotees should knock at least once on every single door in the world.
好，然后接下来呢，他说奉献者至少一生当中要有一次去敲响全世界每一个人每家每户的门。
So.Try to calculate how many doors are in your building today already.
那我们现在呢？我们可以去计算一下你所住的那个楼房里面有多少房门。
There's 1.4 billion Chinese.
中国人现在大约有14亿人。
Calculate about 3 people per family.
好，我们来算一下，一个家庭有三个人。
That's about 400 million doors.
这个差不多就得有40亿了。
So if we can start with knocking on 400 million doors and remind people of the original Krishna consciousness, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be very pleased.
那如果说你现在开始去敲响这40亿人的这个家的家门的话，然后去唤醒他们的 Krishna 知觉的话，我想是了 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 一定会非常欣慰的。
Now you may not need to physically knock on the doors, you can knock on their doors with your WeChat.
当然了，你可能不需要真的跑到人家家门口去敲他们的门，你可以通过微信来敲醒他们。
As a matter of fact, tomorrow is the last day of the book marathon.
事实上明天就是马拉松的最后一天。
And devotees have knocked on thousands of doors during the whole month of December.
在整个的这一个月当中呢，奉献者们就是敲响了无数人的这个家。
So the point here is we are members of the disciplic succession.
那么所以说呢，事实就是我们是这个使徒传系的一员。
We are members of the Bhaktivinoda Parivar, which is the family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
我们是 Bhaktivinoda Parivar 的一员，也就是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 之家的一员。
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is from the lineage going all the way to Lord Chaitanya.
那 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的这个，就是家传，就传承可以向上追溯到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu。
And why do we mention Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Because he is actually the first acharya in the disciplic succession who began to plan in a huge scale how to systematically spread Krishna consciousness.
我们之所以要特意的提到是 Bhakti Vinoda Thakur 呢，是因为他是这个我们的使徒传系当中第一位去构思非常有体系的大规模的去传播 Krishna 知觉的这么第一人。
And as we know, our Vaishnava disciplic succession is connecting us one guru after another to Narada Muni.
那我们所在的这个使徒传系呢，就是一位一位孤儒连接而成的，往上一直到去了到这个 Narada Muni。
So you will never find in any Vedic literature, excuse me, you'll never find in any Vedic literatures where describe Narada Muni sitting around doing nothing.
你不会看到每一个就是文章文献里。讲到这个经典里面讲到阿德穆尼就是这么无所事事的坐在那里。
Wherever he goes, either someone's Krishna consciousness will be heightened or someone will be turned into a devotee.
所以无论他走到哪里呢，要不就是某一个人的 Krishna 知觉就会进一步的凸显出来，或者说呢他就会把某一个人转变成为 Krishna 知觉。
So we take after our acharyas, we follow in their footsteps.
所以呢，我们也是遵循的这些 acharya 们的脚步，继承他们的衣钵。
It's called Mahajano Yanagata Sapanta. We always follow in the footsteps of the guru.
我们永远的追随我们离庆导师的步伐。
And then Prabhupada mentions two words.
然后呢，是 Prabhupada 他就谈到了两个词
，Anushara and Anukara.
一个是 Anushara, 一个是 Anukara.
Anushara means to imitate.
Anushara 的意思呢就是模仿。
And Anukara means to follow.
Anukara 的意思是追随。
So Prabhupada used to tell devotees, Prabhupada used to give these lectures where he would completely encourage devotees to preach very forcefully Krishna consciousness.
那去了爸爸呢以前他经常会讲一些课在这个课程他就会大力的推动奉献者们努力的去传播 Krishna 知觉。
And then he would say, don't imitate, follow.
他说呢你们不要去模仿你们去追随。
There is a saying which came from the Christian religious circles,where the priest used to say, don't do what I say, don't do what I do, do what I say.
就是那在这个基督教的这个圈子里面呢经常有流行这么一句话，就是基督教的传教士说的就是他说呢不要说我做的事情而要做我说的话。
In other words, I may say things, but I may not do what I say.
那意思就是说呢我可能说了一些东西但是我不一定是言行一致的。
So if you imitate me, you're going to be in trouble.
意思就是说如果你模仿了我的话。
Converting the hunter into a devotee is very telling of the mentality of a devotee in Krishna consciousness.
我们看到了 Narada Muni 把一位猎人把他转变成为奉献者的这个故事。所以呢这个故事是非常清晰的说明了一个纯粹的一个奉献者的心态。
Because a devotee is not just concerned with the spiritual welfare of human beings, but concerned with the welfare of all living entities.
那么因为呢就是一位纯粹的奉献者他不仅仅关心的是全人类的灵性的福祉。他关注的是宇宙中所有生灵的福祉。
Because the first thing that Narada Muni saw in the forest was not the hunter, he saw the animal suffering.
因为当 Narada Muni 进入到这些森林的时候，他首先看到的不是这个猎人，而是看到了那些在痛苦中被折磨的动物。
So it's not like we only worry about other people, we worry about all living entities.
所以说我们不是说只是去担心别人，而是担心所有的生物体，为他们而感到忧虑。
And this is part of the story we're going to tell today.
那么这个呢，我们今天要讲的这一段故事，就是与这样的一个纯粹奉献者的心态相关。
So without seeing the hunter, Narada Muni understood these animals are suffering. Therefore, I'm concerned for their welfare. But more than that, I want to know who is behind that suffering.
那换句话就是，然而在梦里他还没有看到这个猎人之前，他就看到了这么多的动物在受苦。所以一方面呢，他又对这个动物呢，他感到非常的怜悯，他为这些动物的这个福祉而感到担忧。但是更重要的是，他想要知道在这番情景的背后，究竟是谁制造了这一切。
So in curing.The material disease in the heart of the hunter, Narada Muni did both looking after the welfare of the animals and the welfare of the human beings.
所以说呢，当Narada Muni他治愈了这个猎人内心中的物质疾病的之后呢，他就不仅仅是给予了就是神人类这个福祉，给予了他们灵性的福祉，而且呢。他也帮助了这些动物们，让他们获得了祝福，获得了福祉。
I think I mentioned once in another class that there is a new wave of activists in the world.
就是我想我在另外的一次课里面，我曾经提到了，现在在世界上呢，就是又掀起了一股新的一种风潮，就是一些激进分子。他们掀起的一场运动。
And they are vegans.
那这个就是纯素主义者。
So vegans normally, if you talk about someone who is a vegan, it's someone who is very peaceful.
那一般来说，你要说到一个纯素主义者，那英文里叫 vegan， 那你就会联想到他们都是一些内心非常平和的人，这样才对嘛，纯素嘛。
But these people are anything but peaceful.
但是这些人，你要说到最激进、最不平和的，那恐怕就是这群人了。
So they go into butchery shops and break everything down.
他们就到那个屠宰场里面打砸抢。
Or they go into a slaughterhouse and open all the cages and let all the birds free and the animals free onto the road.
或者呢，就是他们随便跑到一个。那样的一个屠宰场里面，然后就把所有的笼子都打开，让那些鸡啊，让那些动物啊，全部都从笼子里冲出来，跑到大街上，跑得到处都是。
And they think that they are, you know, doing something good, but actually they're causing more harm than good.
那他们可能会认为自己在做一些善事，但是事实上他们制造的。混乱和这个伤害可能更多。
Because they don't have knowledge.
因为呢，他们是无知的。
This has got nothing to do with the animals suffering. This has got to do with the people who are making the animals suffer.
这个实际上这个问题的核心不在于这些受苦的动物，而是人，是这是一种人为的给动物制造的痛苦，所以关注的应当是那些制造痛苦的人。
So because they know they don't have the power to convince the people who torture animals, then they just want to free the animals.
因为他们知道自己也是没有能力去改变那些折磨动物的人的心，所以呢，他们只能是去做这样的一些事情，把这些动物都放出来，让他们获得自由。
Then there is something else which is recently in fashion.
另外还有一个现在非常流行的事
is people converting their farms, animal farms, into sanctuaries.
就是说现在有好多人呢，把他们的这个本来养着这些家禽动物的这些农场，转变成为了一个不能叫动物园，但是是动物的这种保护基地就是动物安顿的一个地方。
So they no longer send their animals to the slaughterhouse. They just look after them nicely.
所以说他们就不会把自己养的这些动物再送到这个屠宰场，或者是送到这个集市上面了，而是把他们原本的这个农场当成一个基地， 来这个养这些动物，保护它们。
Not only that, but they also rescue other animals from the slaughterhouse and give them shelter.
而且不仅如此，他们还把很多的动物从屠宰场里面解救下来，然后放到自己的这么一个保护基地上。
There's one guy, I think near Guangzhou, he saved 2,000 dogs from slaughter.
就我看到这么一则消息，就是。好像是广州的有一个人，他就把那个救了2000条狗。
And he bought some land, and he's got all the dogs there as long as they won't be slaughtered.
就是然后他就买了一片地，然后让这些狗就生活在那片地上，反正就是要避免他们被屠杀的厄运。
So in the Chinese social media, there were half people said this man is completely crazy.
那么在中国的这个社交媒体上呢，这个网民的这个反应是这样的，有一半的人认为这个人脑子肯定出了问题，是疯了。
And the other half sent him money because their heart was softened.
那另外一半的人呢，就纷纷的捐钱给他，去资助他，因为他们的内心受到了触动，他们的心变得更柔软了。
So you can see that there are people to some extent who feel.The presence of life in other living beings.
所以你会看到这个世界上还是有一些人，他们能够感受到其他的这个生灵。
But all they do is just prolong the life of that particular living entity, and ultimately that living entity has to die.
他们能够感受到这个其他的动物的生命的存在，但是他们最多也只能说。是延长他们的这个生命而已，最终这些动物还是会死亡的。
Therefore, Prabhupada said, all these organizations who are sheltering people, who are feeding people, who are curing people, he said they're doing something good, but it's not good enough.
那释迦牟尼来说呢，这些组织，他们要不就是给人们去提供这个栖息之地。就是收罗难民，或者是给他们食物，或者说去医治他们，这些组织都是非常好的，但是他们还不够好。
Because it's not a question whether you die soon or you die later. That's not the issue. You're going to die anyway.
就是说一个人他到底早死和晚死，其实这个并不是很重要的，因为每一个人最终他还是。会死亡的，这是每一个人都要经历。
The question is to awaken your Krishna consciousness while you are alive.
这最重要的是，当你还活着的时候，去唤醒你的 Krishna 知觉，这个才是最关键的。
So one time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Mayapur here, and devotees were discussing what welfare organizations are doing.
那么就是有一次呢，也是在这个玛雅普，施乐帕帕带着一群奉献者在散步，然后当时散步的这个话题就是奉献者们在说，这个世界上现在呢有这个各种各样的这种福利机构，他们都在做些什么。
And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the highest welfare work.
那施乐帕帕他说呢，他说 Krishna 知觉是最高的慈善事业。
So sometimes devotees, they ask the questions, but the devotees, what do we do for society?
然后有的时候呢，有些人会提出这样的问题，奉献者也会提出说，那我们到底为这个社会做了什么呢？
You know, the people are more helpful, you know, they help people, they give them shelter, they give them blankets in the winter, they give them food, but what do we do?
奉献者们自己有的时候，也会怀疑自己好像没有对社会做什么。那他们会看到别人有越来越多的人去帮助那些穷人呢、无家可归的人呢，给他们提供一个栖息之地。天冷的时候给他们送上毛毯，给他们施粥，给他们治病等等。
Devotees live in a bubble. They are so aloof from the real world.
那就奉献者好像就生活在自己的泡泡里面，跟这个真实的这个世界好像是隔绝的。
That's not a fact.
但是这并不是事实。
Of course, if somebody does nirjan bhajan, sit on their own doing chanting Hare Krishna, not caring for others, Yes, maybe they live in the bubble, but that's not the case for most devotees.
当然了，就像我们刚才所说的那个词 near jam bar jam， 那有的人他可能真的就是把自让自己一个人待着，一天二十四小时去 bar jam 荣耀至尊主念诵，而这个天下事根本就不管。嗯，那这样的人可能真的就是生活在这个泡泡里面。但是大多数的奉献者不是这样的。
Prabhupada explained the real welfare work is to give Krishna consciousness to people.
那释迦牟尼佛在这里要明确的指出，就是真正的慈善事业是把 Krishna 知觉给予他人。
And not to question whether it's going to have an impact immediately on tomorrow or in 5 years or even in next life. This is not for us to decide.
而且呢，你只管是把 Krishna 的知觉带给别人，而不去太在乎究竟是今天这个人就会一蹴而就立刻发生改变，还是说明天改变，还是五年之后，还是这辈子，还是甚至是下一世才改变，这个我们不用过多的去关心，这个不是我们能够掌控的。
Our job is to knock on doors.
那我们真正要做的，只要去敲响每一个人的家门就好。
Sometimes Prabhupada would ask the devotees when they distribute books, "What do you tell people?"
那有的时候呢，就是释迦牟尼佛也会问奉献者们，就是那些派出的奉献者，问他们说，你们跟外人怎么说？
And then they say, how much time do you spend with each person before you give them the book?
然后他也询问奉献者说，你在你把这本书给别人之前，你跟他在一起待多长时间呢？
And then he would say, what will your 20-minute talk do? Give them the book, and they'll get to talk. I will talk to them directly through my purport.
然后呢，释迦牟尼佛就说呢。他说你再跟他讲二十分钟，这二十分钟能起到什么作用呢？不如说把书给他，我会通过书直接跟他们讲。
And then some devotee says, but the purport is too strong, it's too high for people.
释迦牟尼佛的他说呢，我会通过我的钥匙去跟他们亲自说话。然后呢，奉献者们就说，但是释迦牟尼佛这个钥匙太长了，也太艰深了，他们是可能看不懂的。
This is not for us to decide.
但是这个不是我们能决定的。
We knock on doors.
我们只要去敲门就可以了。
So if transcendental knowledge is distributed, if prasadam is distributed, if the holy name is distributed, we've done our job.
所以说呢，只要是这个超然的知识得到了派送，得到了知识传播，然后圣名也得到了。传播，然后菩萨量得到了传播，那我们已经可以说是完成了我们该做的事情。
So that's what Narada Muni does. He comes to a place, he turns people into devotees, and he moves on.
然后Narada Muni就是这样的，他到一个地方，然后把人转变成让他具有 Krishna 知觉了，然后他又离开，继续往前走。
So he convinced the hunter to break his bow.
所以呢，他就说服了这个猎人呢，把他的这个弓给折断了。
He convinced the hunter to give away all his possession.
然后呢，他也说服这个猎人把自己的财产都分发出去。
He convinced the hunter to give up his own home.
然后他也说服了这个猎人离开了自己的家，放弃了自己的家。
And to build a little hut on the side of the river and sit there with his wife.
然后呢，在这个河边呢，建一个茅草屋，就跟他的这个妻子坐在那里。
And to plant a tulsi plant and to worship tulsi and chant Hare Krishna.
然后种一个 tulsi， 崇拜 tulsi， 然后唱诵 Hare Krishna， 念诵 Hare Krishna。
And then he said, "Don't worry, I will arrange for."Plenty of food for you to come your way.
然后他跟这个猎人说呢，你不用担心挨饿，我会做出安排的，你会获得源源不断的食物。
So again, the question of trust. The hunter trusts Narada Muni. I'm doing exactly what you tell me to do.
然后呢，这个就是，然后这个猎人呢，他就表达了对 Narada Muni 的信任，他说你相信我， 我会完全依照你的话去行事。
So now the guru is not going to sit around and see. Now I'm going to watch if you really follow. No, I'm leaving. Now the trust is established.
那这个 guru 不是说还接下来还待在这个门徒的这个身边去检查他到底是不是按照他的承诺做了所有向我许诺的这些事情。不是这样的，因为他们之间已经建立起了一种信任的关系，所以呢，这个guru入给门徒训示之后就离开了。
And we see this perfect example of Srila Prabhupada in the early days, how he trusted brand new people who came out of nowhere and straight away gave them responsibilities.
那么在Srila Prabhupada的这个我们Krishna知觉运动的早期的时候，我们也经常看到这样的一个情景。Srila Prabhupada到一个地方，他就能够把这个信任给予那些全新的这些奉献者，他们也不知道都是从哪里来的，然后Srila Prabhupada就会非常的信任他们，把一些重要的服务托付给他们，相信他们能做好。
There's this new Bhakta, he writes a letter to Prabhupada to show his appreciation about Krishna consciousness.
那有这么一个新的 Bhakta, 一个奉献者，他呢刚来他就给Srila Prabhupada呢写了一封信，谈到了自己是多么喜欢 Krishna 知觉。
And Prabhupada says to him, I will come to New York and I'll give you initiation.
Srila Prabhupada就给他回信说呢，我会到纽约来的，我会给你启迪。
And I heard that you are very good in carving.
我听说你呢很擅长雕刻。
So I would like you to carve some deities of Radha and Krishna.
我希望你能够雕这个 Radha Krishna 的神像。
I mean, immediately Prabhupada empowers people.
所以说呢，你会看到 Srila Prabhupada 都没有耽误，马上的就是赋予这些人力量。
So Prabhupada quotes this famous verse from Bhagavad Gita.
那Srila Prabhupada就从《博伽梵歌》里引用了一个非常重要的世界。
Where Krishna says, "Those who are devoted to me." I provide what they lack, and I carry what they have.
就是说到了对于那些全心奉献于我的人，无者我赐予，有者我保存。
So, Narada Muni left, and the hunter did exactly what his guru said.
那这个Narada Muni 就离开了，然后这个猎人呢，完全就是按照他的灵性导师他的。给他的这个训谕一条一条的去完成了。
So, what's going to happen next?
那接下来又会发生些什么呢？
Because the hunter had a reputation in the village of being a hunter and torturing animals.
这个猎人呢，他之前呢，天天就是去猎杀动物，把动物折磨的半死不活，所以他在这个在这个圈里已经是臭名昭著了。
And he was famous for selling animal skin.
而且呢，他还卖很多这个动物的那个毛皮，也就是算是闻名遐迩了。
But then they find out he's become a sadhu.
但是突然间村民们发现他成了一个 sadhu， 就是像一个圣人那样生活了。
And he lives on the other side of the village by the river with his wife, and he just chants all day.
然后呢，他跟他的妻子两个人就在这个河边，然后从早到晚的只是去念诵圣名。他们俩呢就住在那个村的另外一头。
Which means he has no income.
那换句话说，那他就断了收入了，就是他没有，这样他就没有赖以为生的收入了。
So the people from the village, they began to bring food to him.
然后呢，这些村民们呢，就开始给他送食物了。
Now we have to understand, they don't bring food because they feel pity on him.
那这点我们要非常的清楚，就是他们把这个食物带给这个猎人，不是去可怜他。
They follow Vaishnava etiquette that you give something.
那这个叫做 Vaishnava 礼仪，他们遵循的是 Vaishnava 礼仪，就是说呢，他们是给这个 Vaishnava 奉献者一些给一个圣人。
You never go to a devotee empty-handed.
就是说，你去见一个奉献者的时候，不能两手空空的。
Actually, this is something I've noticed, which is very good as part of Chinese culture. People never come to your home empty-handed. They always bring something.
我觉得这个中国的有一个非常好的这个文化传统， 就是只要是客人去登门拜访的话，从来都不会是两手空空的，总会带一些礼物给主人。
Sometimes when we have a program on Tuesday morning in Tongzhou, devotees they bring bags of boga enough for us for the whole week.
有的时候，我们之前在星期二联谊的时候，那个有的时候奉献者们带来的这些 boga 就是这些食材呀、啊。都够我们一星期用的了。
So this is Vaishnava etiquette. You give gifts to the Vaishnavas.
那么这个就叫做 Vaishnava 礼仪，就是你赠送 Vaishnava 礼物。
But Prabhupada gives a warning.
但是Srila Prabhupada呢，在这里有一个警示。
He says, Grihasthas who decide to practice Krishna consciousness should just sit around and expect things to come their way.And just eat and sleep.
Shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
Yeah. 那吃了爸爸他专门对于这个居士呢，他有一个警示哈，就是说这个 Grihastha 作为居士呢，不能只是无所事事，什么也不干，也不工作，就坐在那里去念诵，然后就等着这个食物不请自来，这个是万万不可的。
Now, in the early days of Krishna consciousness.There was no difference between who was married, who was not married. Everyone was a sannyasi.
那在 Krishna 知觉早期的时候，究竟一个人是结婚还是未婚，简直都分辨不出来，也不会去分辨，因为在早期的时候，可以说每一个人都是 sannyasi， 都是托钵僧。
But as soon as devotees began to get married, Prabhupada said, "You have to leave the temple now."
不过呢，就是当奉献者们结婚，后来就结婚了之后呢，Srila Prabhupada就说你不要再住在庙里了，你们要搬出去。
And Prabhupada gave them options, either you get a job, an honest income, or you can do some business to earn your own money.
Srila Prabhupada就说呢，你要不就是找一份工作啊，诚实的，就是依靠自己的劳动赚取自己的生活所需。要不呢，你就是可以去做生意，通过这个利润来维系自己的生活。
On top of your regular daily sadhana.
但是呢，其基础就是说，每天都要完成你自己的 sadhana 规范休息。
And then he said, if husband and wife are doing full-time service at the temple, then they can be maintained by the temple.
然后呢，他接下来又说了，就是如果是夫妻两个，就是居士夫妇两个都是在庙里面全职的做服务的，那么这个他们的生活可以由庙里来维持。
So what does that mean to be maintained by the temple?
那这个被这个庙宇所维持是什么意思呢
？Means you get a place to sleep and you get prasadam.
就这么简单，有一个栖身的地方，就有一个住的地方，然后有菩萨堂吃，也就这么简单。
But in some temple, it's much, much more than that.
但是有一些庙呢，要远远超过这些。
There are temples where every devotee is on the wage.
还有一些庙宇就是每一个奉献者他都是就是就像付工资一样的，是有薪水的。
Thousands and thousands of dollars every week just to maintain devotees for them to do service at the temple.
就是在每一星期当中成千上万的这些美元要支付给这些奉献者们，就是需要这些奉献者们来维系整个的这个庙宇的正常运转。
They gotta pay their rent, they gotta pay their cars, gotta pay their insurance, gotta pay the food.The children's schooling, you got to pay for everything. Otherwise, sorry, I can't do service.
就是有一些庙里面有一些奉献者呢，他们就被庙宇的去用这个薪水的这种方式维系着包括他们的房租，还有他们的车，这个油费，还有这个孩子的教育，还有包括他们的保险，都是庙宇的支撑着。
So Prabhupada was not very much in favor.
但是Srila Prabhupada不是非常的支持这种方式。
So we have to understand here, Mugrari is now a sadhu, depending on the mercy of his guru, and the village people understand this, and therefore they supply him what he needs.
所以现在母格阿瑞呢，他现在已经像圣人一样的生活，然后他完全依靠他的灵性导师纳尔德穆尼的仁慈为生。而这些村民们呢，他们遵循白石纳瓦的礼仪，他们完全明白这个道理，所以他们主动的给母格阿瑞吃的东西来维持他的生活。
But now the question comes.
那现在呢，这个问题可能就出现了。
What do you need?
那你需要一些什么？去维生呢?
And some people have a very short list, and some people have a very long list.
有些人呢，他这个清单很长，有些人很短，很简单。
What does a devotee actually need on a daily basis?
就是说，奉献者的日常这个开销，日常需要究竟是些什么呢?
And you'll find that even those who are coming forward, who are interested to practice Krishna consciousness, they'll come up with all sorts of reason that they have to get a job because they're going to need this and need this and need this, and they have so many needs, but actually there are no needs.
你就会看到有一些人呢，他们加入了 Krishna 知觉，开始修习 Krishna 知觉了。但是呢，他们心里面想的是，哦，我的生活还有很多很多需要呢，我需要这个，我需要那个，我需要各种各样的这种东西。但事实上呢，这些东西都不是必要的，可以说他们没有什么需要。
Krishna consciousness is about being absorbed in devotional service and just having enough.To eat and sleep.
那 Krishna 知觉其实是，其实你只要有一些最基本的维系生活的基本的东西就可以，足够你去睡一个好觉，吃上好饭，保持身体健康的。那剩下来的其实应当是沉浸在这个 Krishna 知觉之中，这种灵修的生活之中。
Now when it comes to systematically spreading Krishna consciousness, then there's no limit to how much money you need.
当然了，我们进一步来说的话，如果说我们还要去推进 Krishna 知觉，去传播 Krishna 知觉，那么这个资金的这个需求，那就是没有办法估量了。在这个时候，可能就需要大量的物资。
Otherwise, I mean, I can bring you hundreds of quotes where Prabhupada told the devotees, don't accumulate.Don't overeat, don't over make money. We don't need all these things. This is not favorable to Krishna consciousness.
那除了我们需要去传教，所以需要大量的这个财富。除此之外的话，假如说要说到奉献者的自我维系的话，那么我可以给你找来施拉帕帕的大量的引言。在这个季节，须拉帕帕他亲自很无数次的说过这样的话：不要去囤积财物，不要吃的太多，不要过度的辛苦的去赚钱积累财富等等，这些都不是我们所需要的。而且过多的这个囤积，对于我们的 Krishna 知觉来说是不利的。
So, because all the villagers wanted to do service for Mugrari, who is now Vaishnava.It's mentioned here, in one day, enough food was brought for 10 to 20 people.
那就是因为 Mugrari 呢，他现在已经是一个奉献者了。那么这个村民们呢，他们就想要来帮助这个sadhu这个圣人。那么有这么，他这里说到，就是在一天之内就有十几二十个人给 Mugrari 带来了食物。
So, of course, they have too much food now.
这样这么多的人给他带来这个食物，那就太多了。
So they didn't think, well, maybe we should buy a fridge so we can store everything.
但他们不会这么想，这个猎人，我们买个冰箱把这些食物全都存到冰箱里去保鲜。
And we should have containers with labels. These are the beans. This is the rice. This is the dal.
我们也不用去买一大堆的食品盒，我们去买一大堆的食品盒吧，在上面贴上标签，这个是豆子。这个是大米，这个是面粉。
No, Narada Muni instructed them only eat, only receive for one day, and then wait for the next day. Don't store anything.
那不是这样的。Narada Muni 呢，他给他训示了，说你只要接受够一天用的食物就可以了。到了第二天，你再等待第二天的，不要去囤积。
So. What happened next?
那么接下来就发生了什么呢？
Narada Muni had a very close friend.
Narada Muni 呢有一个非常亲密的朋友。
His name was Parvata Muni.
这个朋友的名字叫 Parvata Muni.
This is the same Parvata Muni who went with Narada Muni to visit Chitraketu in the sixth canto.
这个是在圣涅伯加瓦塔尼的第六篇，就是讲到了这个 Parvata Muni 和 Narada Muni 呢去见 Chitraketu 那个国王。
So Narada Muni says, "Come, I want to show you my latest disciple."
那 Narada Muni 说呢，你跟我来，我让你看看我最近收的这个门徒。
So they approach the place where the hunter was living.
所以呢，他们就来走进了这个猎人住的地方。
And when Mugrari saw them from a distance, he got really excited. Why? My Guru Maharaj is coming to see me.
那这个 Mugrari 呢，这个猎人远远看到了他的灵性导师走过来了，所以呢，激动万分啊、哦！我的灵性导师，我的 Guru 来见我了。
And when he saw his Guru, normally when you see your Guru Maharaj, what do? You pay your obeisances.
那一般来说，你见到这个 Guru 的话，你立刻就是顶拜了。
But Mugrari could not do that.
但是 Mugrari 却没有办法马上的就顶拜在地上。
Why is that?
为什么呢？
Because on the ground he saw some ants moving all over the place.
因为呢，他这一低头就看到这个地上有很多的这个蚂蚁爬来爬去的。
And he thought, if I pay my obeisances, I'm going to crush them.
那然后他就在想呢，我要是这就顶拜下去呢，这些蚂蚁就都被我压死了。
So instead of crushing them, he took a cloth and he removed the ants out of the pathway.
所以呢，他没有马上顶拜下去，就把这些蚂蚁都给压了，而是拿出一块布，轻轻的在地上拂了一下，把这些蚂蚁给赶到一边去。
So Prabhupada once said, he says, I have turned these mlechas into Vaishnavas. He says now they won't even kill an ant.
然后释迦牟尼佛呢也曾经说过，我把这些 Malaycha 把他们都转变成了奉献者，他们现在连一只蚂蚁都不愿意伤害了。
And believe me, it's not easy to avoid killing ants.
那你得相信我说的，要避免伤害蚂蚁，这真的是太难了。
Here in Mayapur, we've had a few months of ants invasion.
我们现在在马尔谷有其中有这么几个月啊，这个蚂蚁真是千军万马，大举入侵我们的家。
I mean, these ants were determined to invade every corner of the house.
意志坚定，他们要攻打每一个角落。
Anyway, we're not on the level of Mugrari, that's for sure.
我们肯定是没有办法达到这个 Mugrari 的这个境界了。
So one time Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk here in Mayapur, and there was one ant that was crawling on the desk.
那有一次呢，就在这个 Mayapur， 释迦牟尼佛坐在一个桌子的后面，然后桌子上面有一只小蚂蚁正好爬过。
So there was one devotee who was sitting across from Prabhupada who thought,I've got to remove that ant. It's not proper for the ant to be on Prabhupada's desk.
然后呢，在这个桌子。对面坐了一个奉献者，他一看到这个蚂蚁呢，就想我得把这个蚂蚁除掉。这个蚂蚁在这个施拉帕的桌子上面爬，这个太不合适了。
So the devotee was trying to chase the ant, but by doing so, because it's such a tiny ant, he killed it.
然后呢，这个奉献者呢，他就小心翼翼的想把这个蚂蚁给它弄掉，但是这个蚂蚁实在太小了，一不小心就给弄死了。
And Prabhupada had such a sad look on his face, and he told the devotees that was absolutely unnecessary.
然后是 Prabhupada 呢，他就带着一种就是非常悲伤的一个表情，看着这个奉献者说。你刚才做的真的是太没有必要了。
So, Mugrari paid his obeisances to his guru after he knew the ground was clear of the ants.
所以说呢，就是这个猎人呢，他是想办法让他面前的这个地面上面的这个蚂蚁都给扶到一边去了。没有蚂蚁的情况下， 他才五体投地地顶拜了他的灵性导师。
And Narada Muni was very, very pleased by this.
那Narada Muni看到这个情景的时候呢，非常的高兴。
He said, "Your behavior is not astonishing."
然后他说呢，你的行为并不让我感到意外。
Someone who is engaged in devotional service naturally is non-violent.
一个做奉爱服务的人，自然而然就不会施加任何暴力。
And then he says, "He is the best of gentlemen."
他是最杰出的绅士。
And gentleman in Sanskrit is sadhu bharya.
这个绅士呢，就是在这个梵文里面呢，有一个类似于绅士的这个称呼叫 sadhu bharya.
So in material terms, we understand gentleman as someone who is dressed with a nice suit with a good perfume.
在这个世俗的这个意义上，我们一说到绅士呢，就 觉得就是西服革履的，洒了香水的。Someone
who opens the doors for the ladies.
然后呢，女士优先，专门给女士拉门的。Someone
who is very well spoken and well mannered.
然后呢，这个行为这个举止呢，都非常这个妥，就是非常的合适，非怎么说呢？就是说行为啊，举止啊，都是一副这种绅士派头。
Someone who brings flowers to his wife.
然后经常给这个妻子送鲜花的。
That's not a gentleman.
这个不能说是这个绅士。
Maybe someone who's been raised nicely by his mother.
可能就是说家教比较好，所以他的母亲从小训练他，所以说呢，他这个行事作为呢，都是能表现出这种绅士的风范。
But sadhu varya means a devotee who is at its best behavior.
那sadhu varya 的意思呢，就是一个行为非常优秀的一位奉献者。Which
means not only behave based on shastra, but also behave by looking at the welfare of all living entities.
就是他的这个行为举止不仅仅是完全严格的遵循经典去做的，而且他会时时刻刻的顾及其他生物体的福祉。
Not someone who poses as a spiritualist or a religious person, but actually is violent in their behavior.
就是不是那种自称自己是灵性主义者或者是灵修者、修行人，但是其实心里面呢充满着暴力的人。
And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, "This material world is not a place." Or a gentleman.
所以呢 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 说呢，这个物质世界是不适合圣人居，不适合绅士居住的。So
Narada Muni says, when a devotee is engaged in devotional service, never gives pain to others, never envious of others.
那 Narada Muni 他说呢，就是说一个人从事这个奉爱服务，并且他从来 不给别人施暴，不给别人这个痛苦，也不嫉妒其他的生灵啊，这样的一个人。So
we will see what will happen next.
然后呢，接下来又发生了些什么呢？我们下次再讲。Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What?
Okay, 我们现在来看一下问题。 So Panchatattva Prabhu 询问说，顶拜Prabhu Mataji 和奉献者、素食者的极端行为正确吗？应该如何做才是恰当的行为？ Is it the right behavior for vegetarians, extreme actions? What is the proper behavior of a vegetarian? If what you said is quite extreme,
why would a vegetarian take action?
为什么一个素食者要采取什么行动呢？ Behavior, how, what's the proper way of his behavior?
The behavior of a vegetarian is to always be situated in a mode of goodness.
一个素食者的一个恰当的行为，就应当始终的在一种 善良的一种属性中，善良形态中。
And like I think we mentioned last week, there are vegetarians who don't hurt animals but hurt human beings.
我们上周我们讲到这个素食的时候，我们还说到呢，有一些素食他们者，他们可能是不伤害动物的，但是他们伤害人。
So, it doesn't mean because you're vegetarian that you're a person who is well behaved.
那就是说那个并不是说你是一个素食者，那你这个行为举止一定可以算是端正的，不见得如此。
There are vegetarians who drink and smoke.
有一些素食者他们也是抽烟酗酒。
There are vegetarians who waste their life watching TV all day.
还有一些素食者呢，他们这一辈子都把时间浪费在看电视上。
There are vegetarians who waste their life socializing and talking about all sorts of unnecessary topics.
然后也有一些素食者呢，成天就是在跟别人混在一起，所谓的这个社交，然后谈一些没有必要的这种话题，无聊的话题。
So I said last week, we are not interested in vegetarian, we are interested in Krishna Prasadam.
所以呢，上周我也讲到了，我们对这个素食不素食其实不是最感兴趣，我们关心的是Krishna Prasadam.
So when we talk about Krishna Prasadam, that comes along with a whole lifestyle of proper behavior.
那当我们说到这个 Krishna Prasadam 的时候，那要供奉给 Krishna 的这个灵性的食物，那自然而然与此配套的，那就要讲到这个作为奉献者的种种的这个行为态度了。
But no doubt, being a vegetarian is already a huge step in humanity.
当然毫无疑问，如果一个人能成为一个素食者，从人道主义来说已经是巨大的一步。
One time Prabhupada told the devotees, he said, in America, you have such a nice life.
有一次呢，是 Prabhupada 对他的门徒说，你们在美国生活得这么好。
You have nice homes, you have everything is clean, everything is so organized.
就是一切呢都是那么的整洁。有条有理，又那么干净，然后你们住的又是这么好的房子。
So much food is available.
然后呢，有这么多的食物。
You have good weather.
气候也很不错。
You have education. You have everything.
就是教育什么的，就没有缺任何的东西，样样都很好。
And then Prabhupada said, "Why do they have to kill the cows?"
然后沙帕就问说。为什么他们要杀死奶牛？
He says, can't they eat any other meat?
难道不能吃别的肉吗？
In other words, Prabhupada could see the potential for people to become Krishna conscious if they just did the right thing.
所以呢，释迦帕帕他就是看到了人的这种潜能。其实只要他们呢做出正确的事情，行为是正确的话，他们都有可能成为 Krishna 的奉献者，获得 Krishna 知觉。这是每个人都是有这样的一个潜力的。
And it doesn't matter from which angle you want to tackle the issues of the society that we live in, you always go back to the same thing, cow slaughter.
其实呢，这个社会上充满着各种各样的社会问题，不管说你想从哪一个角度去解决这些社会矛盾、社会问题，最后呢，归根结底总是。归结到一个同样的一个问题，就是对奶牛的屠杀。
That issue was raised in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago, and it is still relevant today.
在五千年之前呢，这个问题在圣殿波加瓦坛当中已经提出了，而这个问题直到今天还有现实意义，都是跟我们实际的生活息息相关的。
Cow slaughter means society slaughter.
屠杀这个奶牛其实就是在屠杀这个社会。
You slaughter the cows, you destroy society.
你杀死这个奶牛，屠杀这个奶牛，其实你就是在伤害这个社会。
You stop slaughtering cows, you see society will become virtuous, people will be very nicely behaved, their consciousness will change.
你停止屠杀这个奶牛，你就会看到世界上的人们。他们的这种有越来越多的美德，然后他们的举止态度越来越端正，然后他们有越来越好的这个心态。
People are so in ignorance that they don't realize that they are stuck in a vicious circle.
人们实在是太愚昧了，根本就意识不到自己陷入了一种恶性循环。
And they're trying to find so many solutions when actually it's right in front of their eyes.
然后他们呢，想方设法找出各种各样的解决的方案，但是他们并不知道真正的解决方案就在他们眼前，但是他们却看不到。
Stop killing cows.
别再杀奶牛了。
That's all.
就这么简单。因为 killing the animal, the cows especially, destroy one's heart also.
Cow is mother.
因为奶牛就是我们的母亲，如果对奶牛施暴，其实我们的这个心呢。
Cow is mother, and mother is the support of everything.
因为
奶牛。You kill the cow, you kill mother, you kill everything.
奶牛是母亲，这个母亲呢是承载一切的。后得载物，所以说把这个奶牛杀死，你就杀死了所有的一切。这个社会，整个的社会世界所赖以生存的这个基础被你摧毁了，这就是杀死奶牛的象征意义。OK， 上一周呢，我们还有一个问题遗留下来没有回答。I think we have a 上次的这个问题 ，Smoky Rada 可以再发一下吗？你帮我再发一下，我刚才挪到上一次的，好像这个问题已经回答过了似的，不知道是后来在什么地方发的。Last time, I think we have
one question.
Yeah, another question.
But did she ask a question?
Okay, the question is: 这几次主理联谊，一位二次启迪的奉献者，每一次不是说与 Krishna 拒绝无关的话，就是看手机或躺着看开的神采，我该怎么办？我好像印象中是不是回答过了，还是我记错了 ？So, for the recent few times of devotee programs, there's one devotee who has got second initiation, but every time he would talk about something irrelevant to Krishna consciousness, or looked at the mobile, or was lying there when the altar was opened. What can I do?
What can you do, or what can the devotees do as a group?
What can I do? The person who asks questions.
No, but what's the position of that person? Is this happening in their homes?
It's a devotee. Any devotee who sees this.
Anyway, when something like this happens. When something like this happens, no, you can do better than that. I can continue the sentence. When something like this happens, you can try to speak to the devotee.
当有这样的事情发生的时候，你可以试着先跟这个奉献者说。
If that devotee responds with a big false ego,
如果你劝说他了，但是呢，他给你的回应是那种。巨大的家伙。
Then you have to go one level up.
那你的行动就要升级一步。
First of all, you find out who is the guru of that devotee.
你先看看这个奉献者的灵性导师是谁。
And you speak to the local leaders.
然后和当地的奉献者，那就是领导者说一下。
Who will try to speak to that devotee?
然后呢，这个当地的奉献者，这个领导可以跟他去谈一下。
If that devotee disregards, then you go directly to the guru.
然后，如果这个奉献者还是无视这个年长奉献者或者领导者给他的劝说的话，那真的得要去跟领导去讲。
And let the guru rectify his disciple.
让这个guru 来纠正这个奉献者的行为。
That's what gurus are for.
那这个 guru 呢，这个责任就在这，体现在这里。
Never think that you disturb gurus and therefore you should never talk to them.
永远不要以为你们会打扰 guru 不要去跟 guru 汇报什么或者讲什么。
Never think that gurus are not accessible.
不要以为这个 guru 都是无法接近的。
If a guru is not accessible, what's the point of being a guru?
那要是 guru 都很难接近的话，那要这个 guru 又有什么意义呢？
So you have to take the necessary steps.
所以说呢，你要采取必要的一些措施。
Because sometimes it's difficult for a younger devotee to correct a senior devotee.
当然了，这个就是更加年幼的这个奉献者去纠正一个年长的奉献者，这有的时候是很不容易的。
So you may have to go to someone who is senior, so that senior person can correct the other senior person.
所以说你可能要找一个比较年长的一个奉献者，然后以那资深年长奉献者的身份再去纠正他。
In the Chinese management, we often get letters from devotees who bring up issues like this, and we talk to the devotee to rectify them.
那在中国的这个管理层经常会收到有一些奉献者所提交的一些这些问题，然后呢，作为中国的这个领导者呢，再去纠正那个奉献者，跟那奉献者去谈。Okay, Sumukhi Radha Mata Ji 这里问了一个问题，顶八他铺和 Mata Ji 及所有奉献者，感恩你们清晨的甘露。对于奉献者家庭中的孩子，要面对很多外面的诱惑，除了荣耀不衰荡之外，他们老是想尝尝外面的各种各样充满诱惑的食物和事情，我们该怎么面对和处理呢？毕竟孩子大了，我们不可能时刻的看着他们。有一种观念说，应当放手，让孩子们的业报展现，给他们体验生活的自由。这是负责任的态度吗？Please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you very much for your nectar this morning. My question is about the children in the devotee family. Because as children, they are always faced up with all sorts of allurement from outside. Besides honoring prasada, they always want to try all sorts of interesting, appealing food outside or things from outside. So how do we face this? How do we treat this kind of behavior or mentality? Because the child is already, grown up in one sense. We can't keep our eyes on them all the time. Some opinion says that we should just let it go and let the karma of the children to manifest for itself, give them some freedom and space to experience life. But is it a real sense of responsibility?
Well, there's a very simple solution.
这里有一个非常容易的一个解决的方案。
Sell your apartment, move to Mayapur.
把你的这个房子卖了，然后搬到 Mayapur 来住吧。
I tend to agree with comments that you receive from other people.
我的倾向就是说是你所说的那个后面的那个观点。
But
就是奉献者的这个有的奉献者说的这种观点，给他们一些空间。
The thing is, people tend to forget how children evolve.
就是情况就是说，很多人他们忘记了一个孩子他是怎么成长过来的。
And they think to forget that once they were also children themselves.
那么可能就忘记了自己以前也是一个孩子。
So when Prabhupada says from the time of birth to the age of six, children should be loved and spoiled.
那虽然爸爸曾经说过，一个孩子出生到六岁。在这么几年当中，一个孩子应该给他很多很多的爱，甚至可以去宠溺他。
Anything they want you give.
他想要什么你就给他什么。
And anything they put in their mouth, let them eat it.
然后呢，不管是什么放在嘴里，就让他们吃了，吃下去好了。
After the age of seven, they enter discipline mode.
那七岁之后呢，就要开始管教他了，要约束他了。
That's when parents move in and start training the child.
就是在七岁开始呢，这个父母就要开始去训练孩子。
Up to the teenage years.
一直到他这个十几岁青春期之前。
And after that, you back off and you become their friends.
在这之后呢，你就往后退一步了，就成为你孩子的朋友。
But you are always on standby to support them.
但是呢，你始终就会在边上静静的就是给他们支持。
Otherwise, you reach a point where you can't interfere with your children's lives anymore.
不然的话呢，就是到某一个 人到孩子的人生的某一个阶段了，到的时候你是没有办法再去干涉他的生活了，你干涉不了。
All you can do is remain a good example.
你只能做的就是说给他一个好的榜样。
Because we should never think that children are oblivious of what goes on around them. They notice everything.
就是你不要以为这个孩子总是一副心不在焉的样子，他们对周围发生的这个事情完全是漠不关心的，不是这样的，其实他们也是在观察。
And they register their parents' behavior. They watch how the parents behave.
他们会一直去观察这个父母的这个行为，父母的所作所为，一举一动，其实他们也都是记在心里的。
And that observation will actually help them later on in life.
那么这样的一种观察在他们日后的人生当中会给他们极大的帮助。
But they may have to go through a phase of experiment. We all go through experimentation.
但是呢，就是就像每一个人一样，都是在这个那有这么几年，在生活中就是在这个做在试验之中。自己去体验，自己去试验。我们其实每一个人都是这样的。
I remember here in Mayapur in the sometime in the 90s.
我记得在 Mayapur 在90年代的时候呢。
Because there was a whole new, you know, access to internet and access to computers.
因为在90年代的时候，这个电脑啊和互联网刚刚兴起，所以是一股很大的潮流。
And the kids both boys and girls would hide to play video game and watch movies.
然后呢，不管是男孩子还是女孩子，就算是在 Maple， 他们都会藏起来，偷偷的去玩电子游戏，或者是看电影儿、看连续剧什么的。
I knew where they used to go.
我知道他们经常去什么地方。
But there's something that really happened that was quite amazing because the girls used to watch movies.
那么很有意思的就是那个时候这些女孩子们都爱看电影。
And suddenly they began to change the way they used to dress.
然后我们就很有意思，就是突然间他们的穿着打扮发生了变化。
And all the adults, they used to look at them walk past like, what is going on here?
然后呢，那个时候的大人就是这些奉献者们，他们经常看着这些年轻的孩子们从眼前走过，然后呢，就百思不得其解，到底是这些孩子到底是怎么了？
The choli was as short as possible.
上身穿的那个秋里啊，就是里面那个紧身的秋里是越短越好。
And the petticoat was as low as possible.
然后这个 petticoat 就下面那个裙子是越低越好，换句话说就中间露了一大截。
And they used to walk around like four or five girls like showing off their hips and their bellies.
然后就经常是这么四五个女孩子十几岁的在一起走在街上，然后好像就是为了像模特一样去展示自己的臀部和腰部。
And the community elders, they thought, okay, let it go for a while.
然后这个社团里面的这些年长的奉献者呢，就仔细的想一想，说啊，先随他们吧，待一段时间看看怎么样。
And one day they just shut everything down.
You mean they no longer?
No access. To nothing.
You mean they stopped wearing like things?
No access to.Movies, video games.
然后有一天呢，就是这个大人呢，他们就下了禁令了，就是小孩子都不能够玩游戏，也不能够看电视什么电影什么的。
And then they started a whole educational program to raise the girls to be nice Vaishnavis.
然后呢，他们就开始了这个非常好的一些教育的这个计划。就是要教这个女孩子们应当怎么样举止行为，应该是一种什么样的礼仪。
But when your child has the influence of other kids from other families, then it's difficult.
那如果这个孩子呢，就是被外面的那些家庭所影响的话呢，那是很不容易的了。
You just have to be on standby and always be at your best behavior because your child watches everything you do.
所以在这个时候你可能最多的只能是往边上就是站一步，就是不要去直接的去干涉自己的孩子，然后你默默的观察，以你的最好的这种 榜样和这个典范去影响自己的孩子，那么这个孩子他是会观察的。
And you have to be careful that the behavior doesn't go overboard with starting to eat all sorts of questionable food and watching all sorts of very questionable things.
但是你还是要非常的就是警惕，千万别让这个孩子他就开始去吃那些乱七八糟的各种各样的东西，然后或者是看一些不应该看的电视啊，或者是网上的这些东西。
So, you have to be strong on that side.
所以在这个方面呢，是一个底线，就是你那是非常坚守的。
Because you have to understand that today kids are not exposed just to the kid's neighbor.
因为要知道这些孩子不像以前的孩子那样，他们只是接触到的就是邻居家的孩子。
Kids are exposed to the whole of China and the whole world.
他们接触到的是整个中国和全世界的孩子所有的这些事情。
So, you don't know where the influence is going to come from.
所以你真的不知道，给孩子的这种影响力究竟是来自于哪里。But that's not easy, huh? Fairy 询问迪拜咕噜念诵阅读经典，把这一灵性的利益回向给其他人，并祈祷 Krishna 可以帮助他们成为素食者，家里的孩子提高成绩，以后成为奉献者。这样祈祷会有效果吗？ So if I chant my rounds, read the scriptures, and I would pray to give all these spiritual benefits or credits to.My family members, praying that Krishna can help them and turn them into vegetarian, and wish that the children can increase their performance in the school, and then later on become devotees. Would that kind of prayer be effective?
Is this Sumukhi Rana?
Someone else.
Yeah, this is very good mentality, very good attitude.
这个心态是挺好的。
There's not much you can do in such situation, really.
其实在这种情况下，面对这样的一个家庭的话，你真的做不了太多。
You see, this is the proof of that story.
其实这个就是刚才我们说的这个故事的一个证明。
Nara Muni has the power within a moment to change someone's heart.
就是Narada Muni 他就有这种力量，他可以一瞬间就改变一个人，彻底的改变一个人。
Prabhupada had the same power.
Prabhupada 也有同样的力量。
But Lord Chaitanya had the same power.
主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也有同样的力量。
By their very presence, people would give up all their material and turn straight away to pure devotional service.
他们的出现。就转变成了奉献者。
So what is our power?
那么我们的力量又在哪里呢？
Sometimes you have to spend years cultivating the same person.
有的时候你为了要培养某一个人得要花上几年的时间。
Just to get some results.
就是为了获得某一些结果，所以你得要花上几年的时间苦口婆心。
So as I said,We don't imitate, we follow.
就像我刚才说的一样，我们不要去模仿，我们去追随。
And therefore, we stick to our Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava attitude, Vaishnava lifestyle, and let them get the benefit of this. Even if it's not in this life, it will be in next life.
所以呢，我们就要坚守我们作为 Vaishnava 的行为、心态。态度还有我们的礼仪，那么就我们坚持这么去做，去树立一个榜样，那去影响我们周围的人，就算他们在这一世不能成为 Vaishnava 奉献者的话，那么下一世他们有朝一日也有可能成为奉献者的。
And because your situation is very similar to many many devotees in China,
那你的情况跟中国很多的奉献者都是非常的相似的。
There's only one word.
只有一个词。
And that's called patience.
这个叫做耐心。
If a devotee in that situation is not patient, believe me, it's not going to work. Not for the family and not for the devotee.
身处你所描述的这种情景的奉献者，假如说没有耐心的话，那最后的这个结果可 他们是于事无补的，不管是对奉献者这个本人没有益处，对整个家庭也没有益处。
So in our japa,
所以在我们的这个 japa 中，
in our reading Prabhupada's books,
在我们这个阅读 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍的
过程， in offering our food,
在我们供奉食物的过程，
in serving the guru,
在服务 guru 的过程中，
all this is very, very spiritually powerful.
那我们所做的所有这些活动其实都蕴藏着巨大的灵性的力量。
Because we have to remember that if we don't know how to swim, we can't save those who are drowning.
那我们要知道，如果我们自己不会游泳的话，我们是没有办法去救那些就是淹没在水中的人。
And you can't give people something that you don't have.
你自己没有的东西你没有办法给予别人。
So the objective really is to become advanced and mature in Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，我们的目标其实就是要在 Krishna 知觉当中变得更加的精进而成熟。
And the more we advance,the more the family advances.
我们越是能够精进的话，我们的整个家庭也会有进步。
And we can't measure it. We can't take a tape measure and say, oh, this month they didn't make much progress, so maybe I'm not very good. It doesn't work that way. Don't forget Krishna is in their heart as much as he is in your heart.
而且呢，这个东西是没有办法用尺子来衡量的。好比你拿一个尺子，你去量一量，哦，这个月他们进步了多少？跟上个月相比怎么怎么样？不是这样子的。我们千万不要忘记了 ，Krishna 也在他们的心中，Krishna 在他们心中，就像 Krishna 在我们心中一样。
嗯 ，So be patient and keep going.
没有办法估量的，所以说呢，我们就是首先要耐心，然后要坚持不懈。
Yes, you're doing the right thing.
所以你做的是对的。OK, 张欣，顶拜咕噜。昨晚我家帕布让我讲一下世界三大宗教和 Krishna 的关系。他不信 Krishna 是最高的神，别的都是半神人。Yesterday, my Prabhu.Asked me to speak about the connection between the three main religion and the world religion and Krishna, because he doesn't believe that Krishna is the highest god and everyone else is the demigod at most. Looks like he wants you to give a talk on that. Or are you ready?
My Prabhu, what does that mean? My husband?
Yes, her Prabhu.Her husband.
Oh, her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the husband is a devotee?
No. He doesn't believe Krishna is the
top most.
Why?
Because of my Prabhu.
We are all like that. Oh, you Prabhu. Radha Sharan Prabhu 刚才问说我家 Prabhu, 那这个一般是奉献者的用语。你一说我家 Prabhu 呢，这个 Guru 就询问了，你的 Prabhu 是一个奉献者吗？因为对 Prabhu, 说到 Prabhu 就好像就是称呼的奉献者。But in China, we are all like that.
No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Prabhu is a very elevated position.
Prabhu 是一个非常高的一个位置。
Call my husband.
你就说我丈夫就可以了。
That's proper.
这个更加的合适。
So, the thing is, we have to be careful not to step into areas where we have no control over.
就是我们要非常的小心，不要轻易的踏入某一个领域，而这个领域是我们是没有办法掌控的一个领域。
In other words, to enter this kind of conversation, you have to know the philosophy pretty well.
换句话说就是说，你要跟别人，不管你帕布还是谁，要开始这么一个对话的话，之前你应当要。对我们的这个哲学有非常深透的理解。
And you can't just repeat something that you read by saying Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead.
你不能随便的跟任何一个人去重复你听来的这句话。Krishna 是至尊人格神首。
So you have to have pretty good ammunition with arguments and counter arguments, especially when you talk to somebody.Who probably doesn't know anything at all.
就是你 你要准备好了有充分的这个论据，而且你也不要奇怪对方可能会跟你去这个反驳，去跟你辩论等等，你一定要自己先要首先要做好这个准备，要有充分的这个论据和论点啊，而且尤其是面对一个什么都不懂的人。
So there's nothing worse than getting into a conversation when youDon't have what it takes to present the philosophy, and you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the philosophy.
就是你面对一个对哲学一无所知的人，而你自己对哲学也没有那么透彻的这个了解，也不够有说服力。然后你又跟他进入了这么一个关于哲学的这么一个对话的话，或者是说一个论辩的话，那可能没有比这个更糟的情况。
So really.What your husband is saying to you by saying, I don't accept it, it's not that he's not accepting. What he's saying to you is, prove it to me.
所以呢，其实当你的丈夫跟你说，我不信 Krishna 是最高的神，其实并不意味着他真的就是彻头彻尾的不信，他可能就是想说，那个证明，给我证明，就是给我这个充分的这个证据来说服我。
People are practical. They want proof.
就是一般来说，人都是非常讲究实际的。他们就想要证明，你能证明给我了，我就相信。
Even if you engage in debate or conversation with people who know philosophy, it doesn't go very far.
即便是你去面对那些对这个哲学还懂一二的人，跟他去辩论啊，去讨论啊，就这样的一种对话，其实也没有办法深入到什么地方。
The best philosophy, the best argument is your own behavior as a devotee.
最好的哲学，最好的论据，就是你作为奉献者的这种优秀的风范和行为。
And above that.Your absolutely exquisite to die for prasadam.
还有一个呢，就是说你在这个 prasadam 方面的这个精道，就是你真的要全身心的投入到去琢磨怎么样做出最美味的 prasadam， 这个 prasadam 才是最有力量。
The more prasadam in the mouth of your dear husband, the less argument, because too much time spent on chewing.
你的丈夫嘴里塞的 prasada 美味的 prasada 越多，他跟他的这个论辩就越少，因为嘴里被 prasada 都给塞满了，你没有余地再跟你辩了。
Like when we have the cooking workshops in China, the girls are all talking and laughing and joking and this and that. When it comes to sitting down to eat, no one talks.
就比如说我们在那个工作。访的时候有这么体验，那些那个女人们或者姑娘们，她们就是喜欢说，喜欢闹叽叽喳喳，听能说，又很开心。但是只要一坐下来，荣耀菩萨的时候，个个都安静了，因为都在专注的吃。
No more argument, no more conversation.
也就不随便再聊了，然后也那个。不给你论辩了。
So make sure there is very delicious prasadam, and make sure you can play the Maha Mantra in the house. And believe me, let the prasadam and let the holy name have a conversation with your husband.
所以说呢，在家里你要创造这样的一个氛围。一方面呢，你要尽量有非常美味可口的这个 prasadam， 然后另外一个你可以放着这个 Maha Mantra 这个音乐嘛。所以就让这个 Prasada 和 Maha Mantra 直接的跟你的 Papu 去对话，而不是你的丈夫。琪琪顶拜姑，如果中心里没有启迪的奉献者，可以崇拜在大庙请的 Gauramitai 的同神像吗？ If in our center there are no initiated devotees, can we worship the Gauramitai?Deities we invited from Mayapur or the big temple in India. These are brass deities.
Yes, you can.
If they don't have initiated.
Yes, you can.
是你是可以的，没有这个启迪的奉献者也是可以的。
Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya are very merciful.
因为主 Nityananda 和主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是非常的仁慈的。
So they will accept the holy name, they will accept your service.
他们会接受这个圣名，也会接受你们的服务的。
Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda, they even sit in the home of mediators.
Chaitanya, 主 Chaitanya 和主 Nityananda 还坐在那些还吃肉的人家里呢。
And the best worship is to chant Hare Krishna for them.
然后最好的是这个崇拜，就是为他们唱诵 Hare Krishna.
So,
my question is, some people say you have to get approval from the guru in order to worship because these are brass deities, it's like a formal deity.
Don't listen to what people say.
就是在你做这些事情的时候不要去随便听别人说些什么。
And if you have no initiated devotees, who is the guru?
那如果说没有这个启迪的奉献者的话，那哪一位是你们的 guru 呢？因为我刚才询问说有些人说一定要请示 guru。
So you can ask for blessing.
所以说呢，你但是你还是要先得到祝福。
So you have the blessing. You can go ahead.
所以呢，你可以获得这个祝福，这样子你可以继续的去，就是开始去崇拜这个 Gauranitai 的神像。
But you have to make sure everything is very clean.
但是呢，这个是有前提的，你必须要懂得崇拜，就是要非常的洁净。
And you have to make sure that.The chanting is always going on.
然后呢，你要保证就是一直都有唱诵。
And that,
就是
you keep everything very simple.
然后你可以把这个崇拜的就把它简化一些，很简单简洁。
And in that group, you got to make sure that at some point someone gets initiated.
然后在你们的这个中心，这些奉献者。不管怎么样，到一定的时候得有人获得启迪。
Prabhupada wanted Gauranitai to be given with each Bhagavad Gita.
Srila Prabhupada 呢，他希望这个 Gauranitai 能够伴随着每一本的这个博家梵歌，派送到。
Prabhupada gave them a name.
然后 Prabhupada 还给了他们这个一个名字。
He called them the Happy Dolls.
叫他那个。我们在中国现在称为这个快乐娃娃
yeah.
就是快乐
He told one devotee, Dhananjaya Prabhu, he told him, he says, I give you the blessings to make these dolls of Gauranitai and make a business of it and sell them all over the world.
然后他是跟他的一个门徒 Dhananjaya 说呢，我现在授权你去做这个 Gauranitai 的这个神像，甚至你可以把它作为一个生意卖到世界各个地方。What about the brass one? Some people
I'm not finished.
Yeah.
So, Dhananjaya never really had the facility to take up that instruction.
那这个 Dhananjaya 呢，他就是当时也没有条件能够马上按照 Srila Prabhupada 给他的训示去做。
But sometime in the year 2000, Vishakha Mataji and myself, when we run the Morty business, we created the Happy Dolls.And we produced thousands of them that are now sitting in people's homes.
那在2000年的时候，我和香港的 Vishakha Mataji 呢，我们一起开始做了一份事业。那我们就设计了，并且是做了很多很多的这个，就是大家现在看到的快乐娃娃的这个形象，是当初我们把它做出来、设计出来的。然后我们就向世界各地真的是派了。也有成千上万很多很多的这个 Gauranitai 就来到了家家户户的就是神坛上。
These are 10-inch hand painted resin dolls.
他们是这个十英寸的，然后它是用那种树脂做的这个小 Gauranitai.
And I have seen pictures of devotees worshipping.These dolls like proper deities.
是还会的，是彩色的。那这个我看到一些照片呢，有一些奉献者他们供奉这个 Gauranitai， 就是把他们当成真正的神像这么来供奉的。
So whether they are made of resin, made of brass, made of wood, made of marble, made of whatever, they are Gauranitai.
所以呢，不管是用树脂做的，还是说是。铜的、木头的，或者是其他的这个金属的，或者是大理石的，都是 Gauranitai。
So this is why they appear in this world, to give mercy.
他们出现在这个世界上就是为了来给予众生仁慈。
And of course it's a nice attitude to seek blessing.
当然了，就是说你去祈求这个祝福，这个是非常的好，非常重要的。
So I give you the blessing.
那我现在把这个祝福给你。
So now it's official. You can worship Gonita with your heart.
所以现在呢，你可以正式的用你的心去好好的去崇拜 Gonita。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. 苏穆提拉达玛拉吉还有问题吗
？Finish.
没有了。Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, 苏穆提拉达玛拉吉。
非常感谢苏穆提拉达玛拉吉。
Thank you very much, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees.
感谢所有的奉献者。
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Mugrari the Hunter ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai Go Premanande Hari Hari Bo
百空太知音服务源于聆听亲爱的奉献者们今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 经是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 就讲到这里我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第24章我们说到了第244十节我们下周同一时间继续 Hare Krishna